Well, this summer, you know, we've been looking at various promises of God throughout God's Word. And man, it's been a really, really encouraging series for me. I hope it has been for you as well, as we've looked at several promises that God has made in His Word specifically to those who have trusted in Him. So you know we're talking about the promises of God. And at the very beginning of this series, I just sort of wanted to know where people were at. And so I asked them, I said, hey, if you could go to somebody and they would promise you something and you knew it would come to pass, what would you ask them to promise you that would improve the quality of your day-to-day life? Like, what would make your life better? So think about that for a minute. How would you answer that question? Right? If you could have somebody promise you something and it would make life better, what would you have them promise you? And I heard a lot of the things that you're probably thinking. Some people said, money, I need my financial situation to be improved. Some people said, a new job, I need my job situation to be improved. A group of people said this, and I thought this was a great answer. They said, man, we would love to have good, godly, solid Christian friends, right? We lack the friendships that we want in our day-to-day life. Man, we would hope for that. If that's you, I encourage you to get in a life group, right? But there's so many other things that people said. One person said that they would love to be promised an extra large Oreo Blizzard from Dairy Queen, right? With all the toppings in it. Clearly, you can tell I asked all ages this question, but there's a lot, right? There's a lot that we can think of that would make our lives better. That would make the day-to-day reality better for us. Well, this morning, we're gonna look at a promise in God's Word that I truly believe it's a far greater impact than any of those on our daily lives. In God's Word, He promises this. He promises that we can have peace in our minds and in our hearts. And not only have peace, God promises that His peace would stand guard around our minds and our hearts so that the worries of this world can't bring us into a state of anxiousness. It's an amazing promise. It's available to you if you're a follower of Jesus. Open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4, and as you turn, just think for a minute about how daily life changes as you embrace God's promise of peace. The constant worry that you might wrestle with, or the unsettledness of your mind, according to God's promise this morning, man, that is banished from your life, and it can't break back in because God Himself is guarding the door. It's amazing, and I'm thankful for this promise. And looking around our world today, I know that many people need the peace of God in their minds and in their hearts. A study a few years ago claimed that 65% of adults in our country are on medication on a regular basis to help them deal with anxiousness, worry, and just a state of stress in their lives. And it's not just adults. I referenced a book a few weeks ago, I think that Pastor Jarrett did here as well, called The Anxious Generation, Parents, Grandparents. And it's a fantastic read to sort of look and see what's going on. When you read that, you'll see that stress and worry and anxiety is up in the last 10 years, 145%. And teenage girls, 161%, and teenage boys, 139%, and young adults, 100%, and that newlywed age, and over 50%, and median and senior adults. Listen, to say that the promised peace of God in minds and hearts wouldn't be a welcome change for many in our world, it's to ignore the internal struggle of so many people. Recently, 40 million adults in the U.S. said that their lives are described by stress and worry and not by peace. The word worry comes from a word that means to choke or strangle. That's what it feels like. Pulled in different directions. Like we can't go on. And let me just say that if you're living there right now, that's the opposite of God's promise of peace. So this morning, as we dive into God's Word in Philippians chapter 4, I want to encourage you, let God's promise of peace become a reality in your heart and in your life. Philippians 4, verse 6, God's Word says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, as we read this, I'm not sure if one word jumped off the pages any more than another here, but for me, it's definitely peace, right? It's clearly promised by God to us right here, and it's something that we need. We need it in our minds, and we need it in our hearts. It's something that we all want, but at the end of the day, peace eludes our culture and so many people that live in it. Peaceful is not a word that many people use to describe their current state, right? Mentally or emotionally. It's not a word that too many people use to describe their lives when you ask them how things are going. When's the last time you went up to someone and said, hey, how's everything going in your life? And they just reply back, peaceful. Everything is peaceful and calm in our world, right? I don't know that I've ever heard it. Probably haven't either. But these verses tell us, they promise us that peace is possible, that peace is real, and that peace is for us. Look at verse 7. Even in the midst of the worst of the worst, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 9, the God of peace will be with us. I want that. I want that for my life. I want that for my mind. I want that for my heart. I want that for my family, for my friends. I want that. And I don't even have to ask. I know that you want it too, but how? How does that happen? How do we take the peace of God that we see right here off the pages and allow the peace of God to be what rules in our hearts and in our minds? How do we become so filled with the peace of God in a crazy, broken world that it surpasses all of our understanding? It's a great question. And the answer is right there in Philippians 4. Look in your Bible again. Surrounding that promise of peace, we see three commands here. Three things that you and I are instructed to do as followers of Jesus. And the end result, right, of our obedience to God's word is the promise of peace that we all want and all need. So here we go, right? To live in peace, number one, God's word tells us, don't worry about anything, right? Number one, if you want the peace of God, don't worry about anything. And I can read the room. A lot of you rolled your eyes, right? And thought, no, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to just not worrying. For me, when I hear the phrase, don't worry, I think about the Lion King and that warthog's voice, right? Singing Hakuna Matata means no worry. I'm not going to sing it. You don't have to worry this morning. But that's the first command here. Look at verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything. Paul, our writer to the church in Philippi, says, do not worry. Essentially, he writes to them knowing they're going through a lot. And he says, guys, you just got to settle down. We don't like to hear that, do we? Guys, have you ever said that to your wife in a moment of panic at the house? Hey, just settle down. I learned early on in marriage that doesn't bring peace into the home. Nobody likes to hear that. Why? Because it's not helpful. It's not helpful. We're worried about something. We don't want to hear that, but that's exactly what Paul commands us. He says, stop. And I want you to understand what he's saying. He's saying, stop letting the concerns of this world, stop letting the concerns of this world be what dominates your mind and what dominates your heart. He says, don't live in this constant state of worry. This verse is written in the present tense, so he's writing them knowing that is their pattern. And he says, stop doing what you are in the habit of doing. And so for us, if we read that today, if that's our pattern, if we are constantly stressed out, if we are constantly worried about every little thing going on in our lives, or if we're constantly worried about what might happen at some point in the future, listen to God's word this morning and know that the Bible is saying, stop doing what you are in the habit of doing. Now understand, he's not saying to ignore problems either. He's not saying in times of trouble or emergency to ignore the situation that's right in front of you. Of course not. God has wired our bodies to deal with things as they come up. You know, the adrenaline, that fight or flight response. But what Paul says here is address the issues as they arise. Do it in a godly manner, a way that glorifies the Lord. But don't get stuck in that crisis mode, that fight or flight mode. Paul says here, do not live in a constant state of alarm. Why? Because to constantly worry, it's to live as if God isn't really in control. To constantly worry is to doubt the goodness of God. To constantly worry is to doubt the plans of God, the love of God, the power of God, the sovereignty of God. We see here, and we see it in many other places throughout the Bible, that we should not worry in a sinful way any more than we should gossip or envy or covet or steal. Paul says, don't worry. It's not good for us. And you might be reading this morning and think, no, that's too simple. You might be reading it this morning and you might think that Paul, our writer, he lived in the first century, a much simpler time. He wouldn't understand the reality of everything I have to deal with in 2024. You might think Paul doesn't understand the significant and real, not minimizing at all, the significant and real burdens that you're carrying. You might even read this and think your situation is so unique that it puts you in a different category where you're allowed to worry, even though Scripture has commanded us not to. Let me help you with some context here. Paul is actually writing this letter from a prison. He doesn't know if he's going to live or if he's going to die. He'd been threatened, he'd been beaten, he'd been run out of town. He was always dealing with one issue or another in the churches that he had a hand in starting and planting. He was hated by many for his faith. Paul wrestled with a past where he'd killed many people, where he had destroyed or disrupted many, many families. And around every turn, Paul was the kind of guy that had someone there that was ready to imprison him or to ultimately kill him. If anyone lived what we'd call a high-stress, high-trouble life, it's Paul. If there was anyone that would have been prone or should have been prone to living in a constant state of worry, it would have been Paul. But as he wrote this, he understood first the constant worry. It displays a lack of trust in the sovereignty of God, and he understood the constant worry at the end of the day, it doesn't solve our problems, right? That worry, it only creates more. If you were to get on WebMD, and I don't advise anyone to spend much time there, but if you were to get there and just type in worry and look at the health issues caused by it, you'd feel like you're watching a commercial that lists all the side effects of some new medication. Worry can cause heart issues, high blood pressure, fatigue, headaches, tension, nausea, shortness of breath, and much, much more. Why? That constant worry is this weight. It's like a weight that we carry around and it presses down on us and no one can see it. We feel it and we lug it around. And if we want to get really honest in here this morning, there's probably a lot of people that can carry that weight really well for a season. They can hide it. They can hide that stress. They can hide that worry. They can hide that anxiety and carry it. And let me just say that if you're there right now, if you're in that season where you're constantly stressed or anxious or worried about something and you're lugging that around, you're carrying it yourself, I'm just telling you, man, that is hurting you. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart. Look at what Jesus says about it in Matthew 6:25. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry, right? Paul's quoting Jesus as he writes Philippians 4. He says, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? And then when you skip down to verse 27, Jesus says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? So Jesus says, don't worry. It's not going to solve your problems. He says that worry is the opposite of trusting God to be God. And I heard somebody say this week, when we dwell on that constant state of worry, all of our focus, all of our attention is going to our problems, almost as if we are worshiping our problem and not our God, who holds us and our problems and everything else in the palm of his hands. So Paul writes in Philippians, he quotes Jesus, says, don't worry. And not only that, he reminds us that Jesus is with us when we face whatever may cause us to worry. Look at verse 5, right before our first verse this morning. Verse 5, the section begins with a reminder that the Lord is near. That means literally the Lord is close to us. And as believers, we understand that the Holy Spirit, that God lives inside us. So you could paraphrase these verses and just say, don't worry, because God is literally with you. Whatever it is that has you worked up, whatever it is that has you stressed out, when it finally happens, guess who's going to be there? God's going to be right there with you. At that doctor's appointment this week that you have been dreading, God's going to be there with you. At that interview, when your payment comes due, and that stressful scenario that you are navigating with your kids right now, God's right there with you. When you have that tough conversation with your spouse, God's right there with you. These verses remind you that you won't be alone. The God of peace is there with you. Friday morning, I was in a hospital room with a family. Remember, the family had a very unexpected heart attack, and they were praying for just a little bit of progress. They were praying for some kind of news that would encourage them along the way. This is a real situation. This is a scary situation. This is a heartbreaking situation. And as I sat there with the family, all that I could take in was how peaceful this family was as they sat in the most difficult of circumstances. And it was very easy to see where their peace came from. In almost every sentence that they talked about, how they saw the hand of God in there with them all along the way, that the presence of the God of peace was there with them. Look at, to sum it up, don't worry about anything, right? But instead, to live in peace, look at the second command in verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that's number two. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And I want you to see this as a replacement, right? He's saying, put the worry aside and replace it with prayer. So the energy and the focus that we may give naturally to worry, Paul commands us here to replace that time, replace that energy, replace those thoughts and those what-if scenarios in your mind with intentional conversation with God, right? That's what prayer is. So when these thoughts of worry begin to stir in your mind, intentionally follow the command of Scripture here and stop yourself from those thoughts and replace those thoughts with time spent in prayer. Craig Rochelle said it like this: anxiety is a signal alerting you that it is time to pray. Peace comes to us through prayer. This verse doesn't just say pray about big things or little things, easy things or hard things. What do we pray about? We're supposed to pray about everything, and not to be dramatic or to overstate it in any way, but we will never understand the impact that intentional prayer has in our lives. It matters more than we could ever know. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, said if he could go back and do his entire life over again, he would spend more time in prayer. Tim Keller, amazing pastor, author, writer in New York City. God used this man to influence the world in just a profound way just in the last several decades. I heard on a podcast before he died, he said, if I could go back and tell my 18-year-old self one thing, and think about that for a minute. If you could go back in time and tell your 18-year-old self one thing, what would you say? It's a lot of tempting things, right? I might be tempted to tell my 18-year-old self, buy Bitcoin when it becomes a thing. I might be tempted to tell my 18-year-old self, you're about to go to A&M, but do not get too emotionally invested in their sports teams. Just don't do it. A lot of things you could tell your 18-year-old self, right? He said, if I could go back and talk to my 18-year-old self, I would say prayer matters way more than you think it does. D.A. Carson said, I have yet to meet a chronic worrier who enjoys an excellent prayer life. First time I read that, I was so convicted. I've yet to meet a chronic worrier who enjoys an excellent prayer life. And it's convicting because I know that when I get overwhelmed with worry, I've let my mind go the wrong way. I've let my mind become consumed with the problem, be focused on the problem and not on the God that's in control of the problem. And that's what happens, right? When we worry, we make our problems huge. We make our God small. We lose perspective. And as followers of Jesus, man, we just can't do that, right? We need to approach our problems, right? The big ones and the little ones. We need to approach them with a biblical worldview. We need to approach them from an eternal perspective. These verses here tell us stop worrying and instead start praying. And when we do that, when we flip things back to the way they need to be, when we look at our lives with a biblical worldview through the lens of Scripture, with an eternal perspective, man, we pray. And that makes God huge and our problems small. Verse 6, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Talk to God about what's going on in your life. Talk to God about the very real struggles and challenges that are represented in this room right now. Talk to him about what you are facing, and when we do, we break this unhealthy cycle of worry and what if and stress, and we replace it with conversations with the one who holds all things in his hand. Rather than thinking, what if this happens or what if that happens, rather than dwelling on what we are afraid of, replace that energy and focus it on God. And that replacement with prayer changes everything. Let me just ask this question. This is you. Nobody can answer it for you. Knowing how real stress and worry and anxiety are in our world today, how common it is, the question for all of us to answer is, how often are you spending intentional time in prayer? What does your prayer life look like? Depending on how we answer that question, could be that for many of us, that's our application this morning. There needs to be a revival in our daily prayer lives. There needs to be a revival in the time we spend alone before our Heavenly Father. Peace comes through being in God's presence. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. God's word this morning, we see it. Worry about nothing. Instead, pray about everything. All right, but too often we have it backwards. We run around and we're stressed or we're worried about everything. We're praying about nothing. Prayer matters. Peace is promised when we go before God in prayer and engage with God, talk with God, share your cares and concerns with God, listen to God in the quietness of those moments as you pray and God is speaking to you. Be intentional to listen and understand there's nothing too big, nothing too small. Our verse this morning tells us to pray about everything. You ever heard kids pray? They do this, right? That they pray about everything. And if you serve in our kids' ministry, you hear this on a regular basis when you allowed the kids to pray. When my kids were a little bit younger, prayer time was always interesting as we were teaching them to pray. They would pray literally, like this verse says, for everything, right? That they would thank God for plants and for animals, and they'd thank God for board games, and they would thank God for America's Funniest Home Video. They'd thank God for their great teachers at school, that they would thank God for absolutely everything. The other day, my youngest turned 8 years old, and so we had his two brothers have a time of prayer over him, right? Just thanking God for the things about him that they loved. And prayer time concluded. It was a sweet time, but it concluded with my middle child, it's always the middle, with my middle child saying, and God, I just thank you so much that when I hit my brother too hard when we're outside, he doesn't run in and cry and tell mom. He just gets up and keeps on playing. I thank God, I thank you that he's tough, right? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray about everything. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. When my kids pray, I hear what they're scared of. When they pray, I hear what has them worked up. I've heard them pray for many of you in very difficult seasons of your life, as we've talked about it as a family. I've heard them pray for friends and family members that were sick. I've heard them pray for families, as good friends of ours have passed away and gone on to be with Jesus. And listen, as they pray, you hear what's going on in their heart. You hear where their mind's at. You hear what they're dwelling on and what they're focusing on. And I just want to tell you this morning, you don't grow out of that, right? You don't get to an age where you just get to start handling everything yourself, where you start keeping everything to yourself, right? God's word has called us to pray about everything. So my question for you this morning is, are you doing that? Are you taking all of your worries, all of your problems, all of your stressors, are you taking all of your unknowns to God? Are you trying to handle it yourself and lugging that weight around? Pray about everything. And if you look at the verses, you see this, that these verses certainly don't promise that the problem goes away when we begin to pray. But when we pray and give our worries or anxieties to God, they do promise that we can have peace, the peace of God, in the midst of our problem. Paul's in prison as he writes this. Many of the people that are receiving this letter, they're poor, they're under attack spiritually, they're under attack physically. God's promises, we see right here, it's not always material possessions and earthly treasures. Often it's much deeper, much more important. We see here that God promises us his peace and his presence. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We do that. The focus is off of us, and it's on to God. So pray about everything. Let me just ask you, how are you going to do that this week? If you were convicted just a minute ago and you thought, you know what, my prayer life is an area of my life that needs revival. I need to begin praying. I want to encourage you, make the plan right now. How is that going to happen? Right? It's not going to bother me if you lean over and talk to your spouse about it right now. If you get a piece of paper out and begin to write stuff down, if you type notes into your phone, think about how you're going to do what God's word is calling us to do. Don't just sit here and think for a minute, you know, I need to do that. Or yeah, I think that my prayer life really needs to grow. Don't let the moment pass by and forget about it before you order lunch. Think about how it's going to happen in your life. Maybe you need to get up earlier. Maybe you need to stay up later. Maybe you need to carve out intentional, specific moments in your day, in your routine, in your pattern. Maybe you'll just commit to take these worrisome thoughts captive, and as soon as they come in, you turn to the Lord in prayer. I don't know what it needs to look like in your life, but I do know that God's called all of us to pray about everything. Think about it. Make sure that you're doing what God says when it comes to prayer. And then finally, peace comes when we do what God says here, when we worry about nothing, replace that worry and begin to pray about everything. And then finally, number three, peace comes when we think about the right things. Look at verse 8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, what do we do with that? We think about those things. What goes on in our mind, it matters. It influences our life in a big, big way. If we want the peace of God in our lives, he's telling us here, man, begin to fill your mind with the right things. And he gives a list. Look at it again. What's honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about those things. Is that what you're filling your mind with? Is that what you're dwelling on? Think about all the things that fill your mind, from books to shows to influences to music. Do they reflect this list? Are you thinking about dwelling on what is good, excellent, and worthy of praise? I heard an illustration a few years ago. It's a great visual for me about our minds. I'm not sure who came up with it, but they said this. They said, think of your mind as an airport. Right? And all of the thoughts you have, right, are they're like airplanes, and they're coming in from all over the place. Now, some of our airports, some of our minds are a little bit busier than others, and I get it, but with those planes, those thoughts coming in nonstop, that they try to push their way in. But at the end of the day, guess what we are? We're the air traffic controllers. We decide what thoughts that enter our mind get to land and spend time there, and what thoughts we tell to keep on going and stay out of our minds altogether, right? So with that in mind, do what God's word says here. Don't let those worrisome or stress-filled thoughts land and unload their baggage into your life. Don't let the runways and the gates and the airport of your mind get clogged up with thoughts of fear or doubt or stress, right? Take them captive and tell them to keep flying out of your mind by making the choice, the conscious choice, to follow the command of Philippians 4:8. Think about anything worthy of praise. Let those thoughts land in your mind. Let those thoughts fill your airport, fill your head. And as you do, before long, you're going to see fewer and fewer negative thoughts in your mind because you've retrained yourself to think biblically about what is good and holy. You're going to spend more time thinking about our great and mighty and powerful and loving God so much more than the issues or stressors or problems of the day. And to do this, we have to pay attention. We have to be wise with what we are filling our minds with. Be intentional about what you fill your mind with, what you think about. Be intentional about what you let fill your kids' minds and what they think about as well. Think about what is good, right, and holy. Anything worthy of praise. Listen, it's no secret. All of us want lives and hearts and minds of peace, right, that reflect the peace of God. But anxiety and worry are major issues in our culture, and I don't see our culture shifting away from that anytime soon. And I want you to understand that those issues of stress and worry, that they are not unique to the year 2024, right? They were very prevalent in the first century when this was written as well. And the good news for us this morning is that God loved those people then, and God loves us now. And his promise, his desire for us, is his peace. And according to Philippians 4, we can have it, right? God's promise of peace, it becomes our reality when we worry about nothing, pray about everything, and focus our minds on the right things. So take him at his word this morning. Let his peace fill your heart. Let it fill your mind. Let his peace guard your heart and guard your mind in a way that keeps the worries of this world out. Would you pray with me this morning? As you bow your head, just for a moment of prayer this morning, I just want to encourage you, right? Talk to God about the current state of your life. And if you'd say, you know what, I am in a season where the peace of God is evident in my life, the peace of God is what rules my mind and hearts, then I want to encourage you to thank him for that this morning. Thank him for his peace and his work in your life. But if you'd say this morning, you know what, peaceful is not the word that I would use to describe my heart and my life right now, I want to encourage you to go to the Lord in prayer. This morning, ask him to help you live out his word, to begin to replace those thoughts of worry or stress instead with intentional time spent in prayer. Ask him to come in, to move in, and to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Focus your mind on him. Think about what's good and excellent, holy, commendable, worthy of praise. And God's promise is, as we do that, we'd be filled with peace that can only come from him.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Force, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with Him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforce.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our 3 locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforce.org. We'll see you very soon.